Lee Steinberg is in the studio with us, the super agent.
Yes.
Actually, his name is synonymous with super agent. You basically, I think you're the first one they ever called a super agent, aren't you, Lee?
Well, back when woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers were roaming the earth, back in 1975, I got started with the first pick in the first round of the NFL draft, and that was Steve Bartkowski.
Oh, that's not a bad one to have. And now, how did you do that? Were you a lawyer just practicing in your own way?
I had grown up in Los Angeles, but went to Berkeley in the late 60s, and I was student body president when the governor of California was Ronald Reagan. So every time we would demonstrate, he'd crack down. I learned everything I needed to learn about negotiating from those crises.
Wow.
So I was a dorm counselor in an undergrad dorm, working my way through law school, and they moved the freshman football team into the dorm, and he was one of the students. So I get out of law school. I'm traveling around the world for a year. He asked me to represent him. There I was, brimming with legal experience. and the draft then was in January. But the sort of seminal experience was flying into Atlanta to sign that first contract. We get to the airport. There are Klieg lights flashing in the sky like for a movie premiere. There was a crowd pressed up against the police line. And the first thing we heard was, "We interrupt the Johnny Carson show to bring you a special news bulletin. Steve Bartkowski and Lee Steinberg have just arrived at the Atlanta airport."
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And that's when I saw that athletes could serve as role models. Mm-hmm. And if they retrace their roots to the high school, collegiate, and professional community, they could trigger imitative behavior and make a real impact. And so that's been the guiding light of our practice.
So you, you're here, we should mention this, you're hosting the Sports Career Conference at DePaul University tomorrow. And DePaul has all of these, you know, it's a really interesting set of programs that DePaul is developing here. Obviously, it's always had a great music school, but now they're really doing entertainment management programming throughout the university. And it's, and because that's a lot of where business is heading. We're leaving, you know, the industrial economy and going into the service economy, and entertainment and communications, sports, all that has become such a huge player in all this, in a way that even when you started, even at your height, at the peaks of these contracts being let, this is just the beginning, isn't it?
It really is. I've spoken on about 85 campuses, and everywhere you go, young people either want to be in high tech or entertainment or sports. And so that's why we created a sports career conference, so that young people who were interested in marketing or branding, mm-hmm, or working for a team, a league, an athletic department, or working in broadcast, or working,
right,
in all these different areas, had a chance to meet with people who are actually doing it and interact with them. And then we do an agent academy, which trains young people in how to negotiate, how to recruit, all sorts of.
Now, do you want lawyers for that, or anybody can be?
Oh, anybody.
In my career, my esteemed career, I've noticed that almost anybody can be an agent. I've seen that a few times.
Even you.
Yeah.
So I think the key, and you have many people who are out in the world who've done a profession for a while, and now they sort of want to change. Basically, we're teaching root skills, how to be a good listener, how to negotiate, how to recruit, how to be creative in branding or marketing.
And that's also going to be at this DePaul conference tomorrow.
Absolutely.
How do you know when someone's a good agent? When you have a young agent who's around you, and you're like, wow, that person's going to be something. What is it just that sort of makes, what are those intangibles, or what stands out to you about that person?
Well, I think the first thing is they've got to have a good heart and really a lot of caring. In other words, you have to treat an athlete holistically and really understand how to prepare them, not just for a draft, not just for a career, but for second career, and to try to establish them as a role model. Warwick Dunn, who we represented, has just put the 175th single mother and her family into the first home they'll ever own by making a down payment and moving them in. Then you look for a sterling work ethic. So what I tell young people is, look, you can go to every bachelor party, you can hang out with your friends in bars, you can do all that, but you'll get rolled if you try to come into sports because it's so hyper-competitive. Mm-hmm. There are 1,000 yeah. certified agents trying to represent a couple hundred players.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about what's happened. And we don't have to get into any specific names here, but every week there's some high-profile athlete that's finding his way to the top of TMZ Sports or to some other place to basically be dragged out for something that they've done wrong, right? Or they've been accused of something. And then you've got athletes who are sort of making themselves, without naming any names, there's one high-profile athlete this week that seems to be in the news a lot,
sure,
that for being trouble on a team. What is happening here? Has that always been the case, and just now there's just more media covering it, so it's yes. more to our attention?
Yes.
Or is it each one teach one?
You can compare statistically how many athletes are arrested for drunk driving, domestic violence, all of it, and it's much lower than it's ever been. However, media coverage is much higher, and you have talk radio and multiple websites.
Social media. Anybody can get video of
right.
it.
And the point is, all concentrated on what is the aberration. You know, dog bites, man's not a story. Man bites dog is a story.
True, but like in this most recent story, you know, you had a case where a guy tried to get off of his team, right? And it appeared. And was able to, you know, got into a physical confrontation with the general manager, refused to show up. What, if you had an athlete like that, what would you be, as the agent, what do? Do you let them just be them and then try to clean up the mess? Do you try to steer? If you can't, have you had situations where you can't steer? What do you do?
So we profile athletes coming off a college campus to make sure that they've got good values, the right work ethic, and those are the ones who succeed.
But people can change it. The game can change them, can't it?
It can, but if you're doing the role modeling and you're doing the community and you stay grounded, it really shouldn't. I mean, I have Patrick Mahomes, for example. He hasn't changed.
I wish we had.
Don't
Patrick
mention
Mahomes.
That to Rowe.
I'm sorry that you
he
mentioned that.
He wishes you placed him here.
Yes, if we only. It was right there. He was sitting right there.
He. Is totally grounded, is not affected by everything that's going on around him, but his work ethic is stellar. So
he comes from an athletic family, too.
He comes from an athletic family.
I knew his dad when right. he was here.
So I think the key is, if you had an athlete like this, what's your responsibility as an agent? So that athlete could be standing up here on a 20-story building, getting ready to jump, and he would have sycophants around him, toadies, friends, who would say, law of gravity doesn't apply to you. Go ahead, jump. You can fly. But your job as a responsible lawyer agent is to tell him the truth, mm-hmm. which is that this is not acceptable. In the case you're talking about, the player never wanted to be traded to the team he was traded to, right. wanted to go to another team, and acted out. The way to do those things is behind the scenes. Whenever these controversies break out, either over contract or over disaffection, and it becomes public and you stick an owner against a wall, then it's just much more difficult to solve.
So if a player was on team A, and they wanted to send him to B, but he really wanted to go to C. He can't say, listen, don't send me to B, because this isn't going to work out. Where does the agent get involved? Because I do know that there are contracts that where the talent or the athlete can call that shot, but obviously this guy did not have one of those.
Football is different. Basketball gets free agents that are out there and can be packaged, right?
And we see that.
Basketball has that. Baseball has free agents. Football has very little of this. And so the reality is, it's fine to have those discussions behind the scene. In other words, you can tell Team A, oh my goodness, please don't throw me in the briar patch. You know, do not trade me here. I won't be happy. Just don't do it publicly, because the effect of doing it publicly is, if you don't want to go to the team they want to trade you to,
and you end up there,
and you and you emote and talk out loud, it makes it impossible for your incumbent team to get any value for you in trade.
But then why would Team C, which may be the most successful franchise of the 21st century,
Patriots?
You have a cold? that why would Team C then decide to take said athlete if he's got all these problems?
And why would it happen so quickly? That it just seemed like it was already kind of
wired.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all esoteric. We have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah.
So let's say that Team C thinks they have a unique modular system where they can plug players in and out, and that the system and success is so strong they can take a disaffected person who's acted out in other places or had problems, and just by putting him into that mix, he'll change.
You know, it's funny, 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, a friend of mine said to me, I'm taking this out of the conversation we just had, Lee, just so you know. I'm talking about something totally different now. He's a Patriots fan, and he said to me, you know, the one thing about the Patriots, let me just tell you something right now.
He's a Chicago guy, but he's a Patriots fan.
Well, I can't do a Boston accent.
Oh, he's Boston.
So he's like, you know, the Patriots, they're wicked strong, wicked great. Uh-huh. They would never take a guy like Antonio Brown.
In the middle of the trouble
before Antonio Brown had gotten released, he said that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, well, maybe. And I was thinking to myself, well, maybe, you know, because teams have a team like that wouldn't want him. And that was exactly apparently what it would have been targeted.
Right.
Let's talk about sports in general here, though. Because as you've watched these athletes, what's the difference now in this generation of athletes that you have represented, that, you know, that you go back, like you said, to Barkowski, right?
Right. Yeah, so over the years, I've done 62 first round draft picks. The very first pick in the draft, 8 separate years. I have 10 players in the Hall of Fame. So I have a fair perspective. And
I'd say
that's just in football. We have baseball, basketball.
Right.
So, these young people are millennials, and they're part of their generation. They grow up on fast cutting, computer screen, tweeting, Snapchatting, multitasking. So patience gets attenuated. It's just much shorter.
Right.
And what happens
for
is
everybody.
So you better get it out quick. I mean, the days of a coach or an agent sitting with an athlete for an hour and a half going on and on, it's just not going to happen. You have to sort of compress it.
Compress the messaging to them?
Yes.
Okay. For them to really understand what you're saying.
You know, like those guys on the commercials who talk so fast at the end of the...
Right. The medical commercials to tell you about the side effects.
Yes. But you still find that athletes are the most disciplined. They already have a work ethic. They have the rest of it. But attention span shorter. The other thing is not a real appreciation for history. So I'm looking at Curt Flood or someone who, or in football, the pension for older players who built the game. History started now for many millennials, you know, or it'll start when we're done with this interview.
Speaking of millennials, I want to ask you about college athletes and the whole debate right now about should there be some compensation for them. You saw what happened in California, your home state, with the state legislature.
SB 206.
They passed it. They're asking the governor to sign it.
Were you behind that?
Yes.
You want that to happen now.
Were you really behind it is what I'm asking. If you were in favor of it.
Was it you, kind of?
Early Steinberg.
Can you tell us? But now the NCAA is coming out to say, hey, you signed this, Governor Newsom, and guess what? You're not going to be able to compete in college sports and NCAA sports anymore.
Good luck for the NCAA, which is a monopoly, which can be sued on antitrust basis, which...
Not protected like baseball.
Which takes this massive amount of money for themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does contracts for themselves. And God forbid that a young athlete, look, let's take an athlete who plays at Northwestern. This is an expensive city to live in.
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone from an underprivileged background, they may be sending part of their scholarship check home, and they're looking at non-athletes living on the same college campus whose parents are helping them with cars and allowances, or the non-athlete can work during the school year to supplement their income. The athlete can't. So the athletes feel ripped off. They see the big crowds in the stadium. And so what SB 206 does is it says, the first advance was attendance clauses, which added $3,000 or $4,000 more money. We're not talking about paying these players like Rajas, you know, the Sultan of Brunei. We're talking about a little more money so they can afford to live in a reasonable place and maybe have access to a car and all the rest of it. So what that does is it says the name and likeness of the player is his to market. So instead of
so
the
it doesn't necessarily have to be paid by the university, but it can be paid by
he can do an outside endorsement.
Right, whatever
and,
it happens to be.
And so people, look, it's tough to change the system. Everything you do for a male athlete, you under Title IX, you have to do for an equal number of female athletes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this is different because it's just based on who the market would want. Now, people will say, well, all the money will go to the superstar. It is the superstars who are most susceptible to taking money from an agent or an alum that causes these NCAA problems.
Yeah.
They're exactly the players. And who are most resentful. So we need to do better for the college athletes.
That's why everybody doesn't breathe from the end of the Michigan game in Columbus, Ohio, until the following season to see who took a car from a booster or whatever it is. I mean, that's always the thing that happens. It's a pleasure to meet you, by the way.
Lee,
thank
is,
you so
Lee,
much for being
you.
With us. Lee Steinberg, super agent. He is, again, tomorrow going to be at DePaul University. It's a sports career conference. So it's for athletes. It's for agent people who think that being an agent would be a good career for them, and even broadcasters too.
Broadcasters, marketing, branding, facilities management, everything. And I got a killer partner, Chris Cabot, who also presents. So spending time with a younger agent will be helpful too.
SteinbergSports.com/events has all of the information if you want to do that.
Awesome.
You're a legend. Thank you for being in here.
You have the best view in Chicago, I must say.
Thank you. It's radio, but I know.
Isn't
everybody
it great?
Says that when they come in, and people who listen to the radio are like, "What? I don't see it.
I don't care." Right?
I know. It is the craziest
you got
view, isn't it?
Boats going down the canal.
Navy Pier.
You have a big Ferris wheel behind there.
It looks like toys here. Doesn't it look like a bathtub?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Exactly.
Stunning. We've got the river over here, Lee, we should check out.
Do you have extra
too.
Space?
No, right.
Be your Chicago home.
Chicago office. I like to represent for Lee. Hey, Rokan for Lee Steinberg Sports. How you doing?
Exactly.
All right. thanks, Lee. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Let's check in now with Kim. What's going on in the newsroom at the top of the hour?
Row the northern suburbs cleaning up today after the area was hit with 2.5 inches of rain last night. We'll have more on the flooding coming up.